The story you're about to enjoy is a factual tale, read to you from a fictional location. We believe.
Mr. Darling, if you could tonight, would you keep Mrs. Owens a good distance away from me, please? Insist that she take a seat opposite the crowd in my cell.
Certainly, madam. She does smell of baby lotion, and it is most off-putting.
Well, that's true. But she does keep going on at me about how she believes her baby is bewitched by foxes.
A ridiculous woman.
Oh, no. No, she's right. It is. It's a real hex that keeps the baby miserable for months, years if necessary.
Oh, then you could just remove the hex.
Well, that's hardly likely since I'm the one who placed it.
I see.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Midnight Library. I'm pleased to be your librarian and host, Miranda Merrick. Please make yourselves comfortable as soon as possible, as I have just a little matter I want to make you aware of before we begin tonight's reading. As many or most of you may know, as it has already been stated before, that we here in the Midnight Library are ardent dog lovers. We have, house, and even foster all sorts of creatures, but we are particularly fond of the canine genus. In fact, I'm pleased to say we have a new puppy. He's brand new, smallish and black, super fast, and still very much at the start of his training, for which Mr. Darling is the model. The trainer. His name is Jack Muck, because he was found out on the moor romping in the muck. My point is, he's still quite silly and wild and a bit of an ankle biter. He doesn't know his name yet, and we haven't been able to catch him, so he's loose here in the library. So if you see him, please don't try to pet him, catch him, or even look at him. If you should find yourself nibbled on at any point, we assure you he's only playing and wanting attention. We've tried coaxing him out with dog food, but he doesn't seem to care for it. Speaking of dogs, isn't it strange how divided people can be on the subject? I have to admit that when I find a person who doesn't like dogs, I kind of assume I'm never going to be very good friends with that person, which is illogical because surely we're all much more alike than we are different. We are all just regular humans, right? I mean, they say that even if a person is your bitter enemy, you have many more things in common with that person than things you do not. They say an awful lot of things, don't they?
Rereading all your favorite grimoires, I see, madam.
Well, I could always brush up on my most potent recipes, but I must admit that I'm yearning for some fresh material. I haven't been this cooped up since the Black Death, no matter how enticing that moniker may be.
Well, I have been watching Blackadder all week.
Oh, you finally made friends with Tarquin. He is the sweetest little Blackadder. And I was wondering where he had slithered off to.
No, madam. I mean the British television program, Blackadder. Verily one of my all-time favorites. And normally only available on Netflix UK. But we have ExpressVPN in our employ, which allows us to access any streaming service in other countries, like Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. And it's so devilishly simple to do. I just fire up the ExpressVPN app, change my location to the UK, refresh Netflix, and there you have it. You see, ExpressVPN hides your IP address and lets you control where you want sites to think you're located.
Oh, see. Like when we hastily had to leave Wallachia, but we wanted the Count to think we were still there.
Sort of, yes. But for your viewing pleasure, you could choose from almost 100 different countries. So just think about all of the Netflix libraries you can go through.
It would be a refreshing delight to possess other libraries for a change.
Indeed, madam. And ExpressVPN is also compatible with all of your devices, phones, media consoles, smart TVs, and more.
Oh, like crystal balls and pools of quicksilver?
I'll have to ask about that. Well, if our delightful library visitors go to our special link right now at expressvpn.com/midnight, you can get an extra 3 months of ExpressVPN for free. Support the library, watch what you want, and protect yourself with expressvpn.com/midnight. Oh, that the little bugger has bitten me again, and right on the haunch. What stings. Madam, would you mind?
Oh, no. I'm certainly not doing that again.
Oh, yeah, quite right.
So, I know many people who don't like dogs. I don't necessarily judge them for it, but I don't make a tremendous effort to know them any further, either. Some people have an out-and-out fear of dogs by way of some unfortunate encounter with them, which I freely admit can be an altogether terrifying and understandable reason to steer clear of them and to be anxious about their presence. That being said, tonight's story is the focus of one such creature, Black Shuck, the dog that has his roots in legends past, but also seems to make appearances in times of late as well. The difference between typical vicious dogs and the viciousness of Black Shuck is that he may have powers beyond the ability to land a mauling or even fatal bite. Black Shuck is believed by many to have been the very definition of a hellhound and an immortal shapeshifting ghost. A winning combination indeed. One of the first appearances of the famed ferocious dog can be found in the writings of Abraham Fleming in 1577. In a quiet village in Suffolk, during a peaceful Sunday church service, the wild snarling beast tore into the church and dashed directly into the congregation. The mighty black dog successively bit the throats of two people so savagely that both died from their wounds. Shortly thereafter, another attack was reported from the coastal town of Blytheburg. Here, the giant dog was said to have ran into the village, chasing and terrorizing the people. Fleeing in fear, many of them dashed into the Holy Trinity Church and barricaded the door. The dog clawed and broke his way in and was so barbaric inside the church, he easily killed a man and a boy and then did so much damage to the structure of the chapel that the steeple collapsed. It was only later, when the wreckage was being cleared, that the workmen discovered strange scorch marks on the ravaged church door, marks that have been preserved and can be seen to this day. Black dogs, Grimms, Black Shuck, Old Shuck, all of these terms seem to anchor themselves in the folkloric title of hellhound. The word itself having first appeared in the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle in the 11th and 12th centuries. The preserved records, full of fearsome accounts, describe what was called the Wild Hunt. Witnesses spoke of bands of large, mysterious huntsmen riding giant black horses, thundering through the darkened countryside, accompanied by packs of enormous jet-black dogs with fiery eyes and dripping fangs. Any poor animal or person who might find themselves in their riotous path would surely be mangled and ripped to ribbons. It should be noted that in times before there was an established press or newspaper reporters, there were chroniclers, people who documented notable happenings in towns and villages and the surrounding countryside of any given area. And because there was often an expanse of land to cover, and various persons doing the chronicling, and a healthy dose of word of mouth repeating and probably embellishing all kinds of stories, not just the ones about gigantic, terrifying dogs, there's undoubtedly a chance of fantasy, folklore, and perhaps even religious warnings and fable-like morals getting mixed in. Although, the alternative may be true as well, and it may be a sad fact that some stories that were immediately dismissed as rumor or folklore were indeed frightful, factual truths. One thing is certain, there were literally hundreds of reported cases of the devilish dog throughout the United Kingdom and nearly every Eastern European country. In the interest of the pursuit of truth, it may be a comfort or at least a curiosity to some of you that there exists today a map of precise locations of 400 to 500 documented sightings of the great strange beast. So if you're inclined to tour historically horrific sites, you may want to chase down this handy map. We may even possess a copy somewhere. Some of the most fascinating tales of the dog, as it were, are the ones in which the sinister animal appears as darkly ethereal, a grisly, ghostly visitor to our mortal plane. One such staple in the battery of stories is of a huge black dog, loyal to his owner down to his very bones, and a guardian of innocence. Canines in general are noted for their incomparable loyalty to man since time immemorial, aren't they? How else would they have earned the title of man's best friend but by the fierce protection of a man's life? And if in life, why not also in death? In one such tale, the great dog, upon discovering a friar attempting to violate a young girl, valiantly charges the attacker to save the poor girl and is killed in the fight. Completely unhindered by the loss of his body, the ever-vigilant hound roams the churchyard grounds in his ghostly form on a mission to instill a deep fear in anyone deserving it. By some accounts, the beast is there as a harbinger of doom, and anyone who lays eyes on the colossal canine, whether he appears as flesh or apparition, is said will die within the coming year. I myself never walk churchyards in daylight. There are accounts of the monstrous mutt even being reported in modern times, and as always, the startling appearance, behavior, and ability of the dog are vast and varied. Black Shuck can seemingly appear at will, mainly to a solitary person and mostly at dusk or dawn. He's known to strike terror into the heart of the lone witness with his massive size, his glowing eyes, silent panting, and ability to almost telepathically grip his target in his gaze while infusing them with a sense of utter hopelessness and cold dread. Then he's seen to fade away or disappear into a tree or wall. The shaken witness often carries within himself a hollowness in the pit of his guts, a deep feeling of impending doom that never goes away. Not long afterward, it's not uncommon for the person's luck to take a dramatic downward turn, and pitiful happenstances become their constant companion. Some occult experts speculate that, based on historical accounts, That black shuck might be likely what is referred to as a bogey beast, or in past times, a shapeshifter. A supernatural creature able to change at will, the manner in which it appears to human eyes. Records from 1830 state that black shuck could change from dog into donkey or even a goat in the twinkling of an eye. Quite a handy little skill, one could imagine. One account, or perhaps we should say accusation, is dated to the year 1450 in the village of Dartford, Kent, where it is written that a rebel and social outcast named Jack Cade performed some sort of unholy ritual and conjured up the devil in the form of a great black dog. And in the interest of historical accuracy, and out of the goodness of my own heart, I should like to tell you that the name Shuck is derived from the Old English Anglo-Saxon word skooga, meaning devil or demon. There are even documented mentionings of the monstrous dogs in attendance at the infamous witch trials. If you believe in such things, can you imagine witches in the company of some sort of unnatural canines? Canine familiaris, anyone? How silly. This concludes our story this evening, my dear guests. Please watch for our little Jack Muck as you make your way safely to the information desk. He's bound to be hungry by now. Good night.
Lovely reading tonight, madam. I take it you saw me block the attempts of Mrs. Owens to get your attention.
I certainly did. Thank you.
Madam, I know your actions to be impeccable, but a curse? Or a baby?
Oh, it's only a curse for a little while, darling. And then it becomes a blessing. For us.
What? But how?
It's easy. I bewitch the foxes bewitch the baby. The baby becomes fussy and restless and cranky, refusing to sleep normal hours. This becomes a pattern as the child grows. As teens, they become moody and dark. They stay up at night, watch spooky movies, and begin reading Poe. They gravitate towards gloomy things, art and books. As young adults, they become cynical and gothic in their nature, which often becomes reflected in their appearance and choice of profession. Halloween often becomes their only holiday. The village gets another deeply fascinating person, and we get another patron of the Midnight Library.
Well, I am stunned. How many times have you done this?
378 times.
Glorious.
The Midnight Library is co-produced by Tess Feifel and Astonishing Legends Productions and is edited by Sarah Voorhees-Wendell with music and sound design by Ryan McCullough. Special thanks to Miranda Merrick and Mr. Darling. No part of the show may be reproduced in any manner without express written consent. Copyright Astonishing Legends, all rights reserved.